Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
Okay, welcome everyone who are joining us tonight. This is Julie Johnson, and I'm joined here by Marilupe de la Calle. And
hi, everyone.
Hi. We're going to start our call in a couple minutes. We see people are starting to join us, and the call tonight is called The Secret to Handling Your Child's Tantrums. So, let's see, we have some people calling in from North Carolina, California, Palo Alto, Beverly Hills, Pasadena, New York, great, Seattle, Washington, Minnesota. Yay, we're really excited to have everyone here tonight, and we're going to get started in just 1 minute as people continue to join us. And in a minute, I'll put people on lecture mode so that we won't have any disruptions from sound. All right. Let's see. Got someone from Minnesota. More people calling from California. All right. So again, if you're just joining us, this is The Secret to Handling Your Child's Tantrums. And we have about, we have over 600 people that have signed up for the call. So some will be on tonight and some will be joining us for the replay. So we're really glad that you're here tonight. All right. Well, I have 6:30 Pacific time, 9:30 Eastern time. So, Marilupe, should we go ahead and get started?
Sure.
Okay, great. Okay, let me go ahead and put everyone in lecture mode. All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Thanks for coming on the call tonight. If you're just joining us, this my name is Julie Johnson, and I'm joined here by my co-presenter and Parenting by Connection instructor, Marilupe de la Calle. And as I said, there are lots and lots of people that have signed up for this call tonight, so we're really excited that you're joining us. And we know your time is precious. It's not always easy to jump on a call like this. So whether you're joining us live or listening to the recording, thanks for taking time out of your busy day or evening, or could be morning for some people, wherever you are in the world. So we're hoping to give you some good ideas that you can try out right away with your family. And what we're going to do is I'm going to talk for a few minutes about hand-in-hand parenting for those who are new to the organization and to the approach, and then we'll introduce ourselves a little bit more. And before I do that, I just want to give you a quick idea of what you can expect on the call tonight. So as I said, we'll start with introductions, and then we'll move into the content of the call, which includes why children have tantrums and how you can help them with their emotional upsets. And we'll share with you how to use some of the Parenting by Connection listening tools tonight to help children with tantrums. And then please do stick around if you can, because we have a little discount for you to offer you for a course at the end that you might want to take advantage of when we're done talking. You'll get the code for that when we're done, and then we'll go into the Q&A portion of the call. I know some parents have written in with questions over the last couple of weeks, and we'd like to address some of those questions on the call tonight. And if we have time, this call is about an hour. If we have time, we will take a question or two from the audience tonight, depending on where we are at. So let's see. All right. Yes, more people are joining us. Great. So I want to give a quick overview of hand-in-hand parenting for those people who are new to the organization or haven't heard it for a while. So Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization based in California, but we have instructors all around the world, including myself and Marilupe. I'm on the West Coast in California, and Marilupe is on the East Coast in Pennsylvania. And Hand in Hand was founded about 30 years ago by Patty Whiffler, who has developed some amazing tools based on many years of real-life experience, and we call those the listening tools. And those tools really make up the foundation of the approach that we're going to talk about tonight. So Hand in Hand has a variety of different offerings, from free articles on the website, lots and lots of free articles that I really highly recommend people check out on the blog, great tips and suggestions there. Free teleseminars like this one, and we have some more coming up in the future, which I will give you an idea what's coming up towards the end of the call. And then we have a free online discussion group, which is really great, a Yahoo group, and you can get to that via the Hand in Hand website, which is handinhandparenting.org. And then in addition to those free resources, Hand in Hand offers classes and support groups both in person and online. So if you're looking for something in person, you can check out your area on the website and see if there's something in your area. Or if there's not, you can do an online class, which is a phone class that is a mixture of having a weekly call and viewing videos and reading articles. We also do training for parents and professionals and consultations for one-on-one support if you're interested in that as well. And you can, as I said, you can find all these resources on the Hand in Hand website. So Hand in Hand's approach is called Parenting by Connection. It's a attachment-based, emotion-focused, trauma-informed parenting program. And the approach offers really concrete tools that actually operationalize attachment theory principles. And it's especially helpful for families of children who have challenging behaviors arising from difficult early experiences, because one thing that it does is it helps parents set limits in a way that really strengthens and protects the attachment relationship. And it's a wonderful approach, even if you don't have that experience in your family. But these are tools that you can apply to lots of different situations in your family and outside of your family as well. I know people who use these tools with grown people who use these tools with their own parents or in work situations. So they're just, they're multi-uses. And we're going to talk about some of the tools tonight. Hopefully you'll walk away with some ideas that you can try out right away in the family. So let's do some fuller introductions of ourselves. Marilupe, do you want to go ahead and say who you are?
Awesome, sure. Okay. Sure, Julie, thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Marilupe de la Calle. I am a Mexican mom of two amazing daughters, ages 7 and 4. And I live here in the U.S. with my husband and my beautiful daughters. And I remember I used to say before becoming a mom that I really wanted my children to know in every cell, I used to say, in every neuron of their brains, that I was truly there for them. So that's what I really needed when I was little. And then my incredibly passionate girl was born, and I really found myself overwhelmed by the intensity of her emotions. I was clueless, and I was really desperate for answers. And I was actually reacting in anger and in disbelief, and this is not what I had planned for. So when I found Hand in Hand and really started applying the tools at home, I saw a spark in my daughter's eye that I had never seen before. And then 3 years later, fast forward 3 years, and my family dynamics are completely different. And I'm happy to say I'm no longer hopeless, and we've conquered fears, we've healed old wounds, we've deepened our connection immensely, and the bond between my daughters is unbelievable. So now I can actually say that I am truly present for my girls like I had always dreamed. And after seeing what Hand in Hand did for my family, I decided to share this gem, I call it a gem, parenting by connection, with others. And that's why I decided to become a certified instructor, and that's why I'm truly delighted to be here today.
Okay, great. Thanks, Marilupe. It's really good to be with you tonight, too. So as I said earlier, I'm Julie Johnson, and I have a 7-year-old son and a 12-year-old stepdaughter. And for me, it was very challenging after my son was born, coming together with a blended family. I have an incredible stepdaughter who I was very close to before my son was born, but when he came along, things sort of exploded, and she seemed to be upset all of the time, and she would tantrum a lot of the time that she was at our house, and just things never seemed quite right. She was always upset, and even though I had been in education for a long time, I've been a teacher, and I've worked with kids, and I've led workshops and been in classrooms with kids, I felt at a loss as to how to handle her big emotions. And I found myself angry at her a lot, and I didn't want to have that kind of relationship with her. So I took a class when my son was about one and with Patty Whiffer at the time, and it really changed the way that I looked at my relationship with my stepdaughter and with everyone else in my family, actually. And I've been using the listening tools ever since with both of my kids, and we have a really good relationship today. A couple of years ago, my stepdaughter organized a surprise party for my birthday, actually. It was the first surprise party, the only first I've ever had. And she was 10 at the time. She did so much, you know, she did a lot of the planning and calling and organizing and preparing, and it was really wonderful and very touching for me.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's a little bit about us. We want to take a few minutes now and jump into the content of the call. And so what we're first going to talk about is how most parents learn to respond to crying and a new perspective that we want everyone to take a little time to consider here. So we want to present something that's different, a fresh perspective that goes against actually much of what we hear or see in our culture. And I think that's true in many cultures, actually, around the world. The idea that when our children have tantrums or they are unhappy or, you know, unreasonable, that we assume something has gone wrong. And we tend to blame ourselves or we blame them. And in short, we've been trained, many of us have been trained, I think of children's upsets as bad and that we're bad parents when our kids are upset or tantruming or crying. And for many of us, I know this has certainly been true of me over the years off and on, but I've gotten much better about this, that when upsets arise, for many of us, we want to put it into it as quickly as possible. And it's common for parents to use distraction or negotiating or, you know, threats or even force to get a child to do what we want them to do or to help them to feel better. I think often, you know, there are children and we want kids to feel better. We want things to be right in the world, and sometimes their happiness makes it feel that way. But whatever our methods are, we often feel like it's our job to end the upset and as soon as possible. So, but tonight we want to offer a different perspective, as I said, which is to think about tantrums as actually healthy, healing, and necessary for a developing person. Then we can help our children work through, when we think about it this way, we can help our children work through difficult moments, which in turn can help them actually be more relaxed learners, relieve stress. It can help them have an easier time socially, feel more connected and closer to people around them in general. So, and we'll talk about what that looks like in a minute. So why do children have tantrums? Let's talk about, you know, why this is, because I think that helps us, at least for me, it helped me understand, to understand where a child is coming from and helps us see that children are not, I think it often feels like children are trying maybe to manipulate us or doing something to try to get their way or trying to push our buttons, which can feel like sometimes, but that often that they are actually asking for help when they're upset. And sometimes they're actually in the middle of a growth spurt when they have a lot of feelings surface, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in a minute. So one way to look at tantrums is that they're actually an emotional release for a child that clears out whatever is bothering them. And I think many of us know what it's like to have a good cry and feel refreshed and better afterwards. And this is actually, crying is actually healthy and sort of natural bodily function. And it's useful to think about tantrums in that same way as for a child to actually offload their bad feelings. During his upset, he's trying to get out of an irrational place that he's in, because when he's really upset, that irrational or thinking part of the brain is not working. It's sort of offline, if you will. And it's hard, you know, for children and for parents, to, you know, you can think about a time when you're really upset. It's hard to think clearly. And it certainly is for children when they're in the middle of a tantrum. And what is really helpful for them, actually, is if they have a good listener near them to help them kind of work through a difficult moment or time. Because when a child is sad or afraid or frustrated, and when they feel alone, they sometimes fill up with bad feelings. And so crying and tantrums can actually help them get back on track and think more clearly and more rationally if they have someone that's listening. So the other thing that's important to mention here is that stress hormones are being released as children cry. And tears act as sort of like a safety valve by releasing excess stress hormones, such as cortisol. And also other hormones or other there are high amounts of other stress hormones that are also being released. So crying is actually a healthy biological process for all of us. And in addition to that, tantrums can also signify a learning leap for a child. For example, when a child is learning to walk or talk, the learning process can be bumpy. And as they're trying to say certain words or falling a lot as they are learning to walk, this can bring tears or big tantrums. And in the learning process, there can be frustration. But when a child has a chance to cry about some of that disappointment or frustration, as they go about that learning, sometimes you see them break through actually to speaking better or to walking well or figuring something out that they couldn't do before or developing more friendships with children. There can be social breakthroughs in these big tears and tantrums as well. Patty Whiffler, who's, as I mentioned, is the founder of Hand in Hand Parenting, she was director of an infant toddler center for many years and she said that she actually saw every child that came through that center, almost every child, I think, have a tantrum at some point or another. And they noticed through lots of careful observations that children who were making developmental leaps were likely to have regular tantrums, actually, before and during those times of growth. So that's another piece of tantrums, is that they can be related to a learning leap. Also, children tantrum sometimes as they work through big feelings, and sometimes those are big, scary feelings. And some explosions that look like tantrums are actually directly connected to big, often scary feelings that the child has internalized but not yet worked through. And sometimes children will choose a pretext to get upset about something that's seemingly small and maybe benign to us, but that leads to a big tantrum. So there's an example that Patty Whiffler often gives that I like a lot. In the morning, if you're offering your child a piece of toast and you've cut the toast for that child in triangles, and they have a big upset about it because they wanted that toast cut into squares. And it seems like a small thing to us, but they've exploded over it. And that's an example of a pretext that a child might choose, not necessarily knowingly, but use to be able to have a big cry that they might be needing to have. So that's also kind of good to think about or look at, that when our children are crying about what seem like really small things, that they might be kind of getting down into some deeper upsets or deeper possibly even traumas that have happened a while back. So that's a little bit about why tantrums happen. We want to talk about how we can respond to a crying child, because that's probably why most people are on the call tonight. That's a big sticking point or stickler for a lot of people. So Marilupe is now going to talk about one of our tools called Stay Listening and how you can use that when a child is upset.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. So if we go back to that example about cutting the toast in a different way than they want, and we try to fix it and we try to make it better, then our child is probably going to choose another pretext because the feelings need to be offloaded. So along with this fresh perspective on the healthy emotional release that a tantrum can provide, we want to share what Hand in Hand believes is the best way to actually respond when our child is having a tantrum. And it's a call, as Julie was saying, that we call stay listening. And we call it stay listening because it's very simple. You basically stay and you listen. So that's our role in that intense emotional moment is to really move close and stay with our child and listen with as much compassion as we can find and to give them our full attention to his or her cries. So you need to offer lots and lots of eye contact and warmth. And it's important to mention that if the child is small, it's really helpful to kneel down to their level. And it's also our job to be the safety manager, so no one gets hurt. So of course, you know, by this time, the tensions often include very agitated movement and struggle. So we can try to protect them from being hurt, try to protect ourselves from being hurt. And basically, that's what we recommend you do. You stay and you listen. And then it's important to mention we don't need to fix anything. We don't need to stop the tantrum from happening. Actually, we can anticipate it. And even welcome it if you can, because the best attitude to bring is that of a calm, warm, confident tone. And we actually don't need to say much because the sense of safety is mostly conveyed through our body language. So if you're calm, I know it's really hard, but if you can stay calm, then they can actually feel safe to express all those yucky feelings. So we call also, we think of that as an anchor. We can anchor our children this way through the emotional storm that's happening. And the best is if we don't interfere with our own emotions so that their emotions can rise to the surface. And of course, here's the beauty of it, then pass. They do pass. It's like a big red balloon that's going to come into the room and inflate. And then if we allow for the whole process to unfold, then it's just going to pass. And once they're done and all those yucky feelings are expelled, the beauty of it is that our children can regain their sense of safety and actually access that reasoning part of the brain that was off limits before. And we can even see it in the relaxed muscle tone and how they're easy and they're flexible and they want to share and they're cooperative and they're so sweet and tender. Like you can just see it in their eyes. So to try to explain how this can work, I would love to share a little anecdote that happened when one of my daughters was 2 years old, and it was around Christmas time. So a friend had given us a beautiful tin box filled with cookies that she had baked. And we came home, and I told her that we needed to wait until her dad and sister were home to open the box together. And, of course, as you can probably imagine, she didn't like my response. So she darted to grab the cookie box. And when I saw that she wanted to throw it across the room, I got really close and I physically stopped her very gently and calmly. I held her hand, so that she could not throw the box. And I didn't just take the box away from her. I just stopped her from throwing the box. And I just, in a very, very neutral tone, I said, "I'm sorry, sweetie. I can't let you do that." And that's all she needed to feel safe. And then, of course, the tantrum began. It was one of those like epic tantrums, like when they throw themselves on the floor and she was screaming, she was raging. And I just repeated, "I'm sorry, sweetie, we won't open the box until later." She kept on crying and crying. And I just, because she was so little, I knelt down next to her and I stayed there. And I was trying to listen as compassionately as I could. And of course, she went from raging into crying in actually varying intensity cycles. It would wind down and then pick up again, and then just stay there for, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes or more. And the length of this particular cry, I think, was an indicator that she was probably using this opportunity to work on some other hurts and fears, as Julie was describing before, because tantrums can usually be relatively short-lived, but when they use this great opportunity to work on other feelings, then they can get prolonged. So she ran across the room, and I just gently stood up and followed her again, ready to keep on stay listening. And sometimes, actually, it's really fascinating. We don't need to know exactly what's behind the tantrum, but sometimes they choose to tell us, and this particular time she did. She, after what seemed like a really, really long time, she suddenly stopped crying just like that. She looked at me in the eye like, and just said, "Mommy, I fell from the stairs, Mommy." And yes, she had fallen off the stairs, but that happened a year earlier when she was just learning to work. At work, And I said, yeah, baby, you did. And then she said, Daddy was there. And I said, yeah, sweetie, that was pretty scary. Remember that he helped you? He was scared too. And she just nodded and cried some more. And then she seemed to be done. And just like that, she got up, like happy, refreshed, as if nothing had happened. And of course, for the cookies, she was totally okay with the idea that she had to wait for us to be together to open the box. So she was just using the pretext of the cookies. And it turned out that she was actually working on a nasty fall that she had on the stairs like a year earlier. So that was really, really amazing to watch. And all I had to do was just like anchor her and stay listen. And of course I had to be the safety manager because I was not going to allow the box to be thrown away or for her to be hurt or for her to hurt me without wanting to. So that's how stay listening, works in a nutshell. But that's a reactive thing, like that's when the tantrum is actually happening. Hand in Hand has other tools that we can use proactively, and actually my favorite one is called Special Time. And I would like to tell you how to make that happen and why it's so important. So you can think of Special Time as an extra sweet vitamin dose of love that gets really directly into your child's heart to fill his connection cup, and it works like this. So you are the parent and you announce, or the caregiver, and you announce that the special time is coming, and you and your child get to name it. You can name it, I don't know, like Susie time or mommy and me time or whatever you like, but name it something. Children need to be able to call for it when they need it. So you are in charge of choosing when it happens and for how long. And here it's important to say that 5 or 10 minutes can work wonderfully. So you set a timer, and so you know also that there is an end in sight to that special time. And once it starts, you give your child 100% of your attention. You forget about the dishes or the phone or the door. You arrange for your other children to be cared for, and then you bring an attitude of delight to whatever your child chooses to do. So you let them lead, and they choose the activity, and as long as it's safe, anything goes. You just bring a big yes to whatever they want to do and just follow their lead. And with time, they really learn to use this window of like protected attention wisely, and they rely on it to show you their world and their desires and even their struggles. So once the timer goes off, you just offer a warm hug and state that it will happen again soon. And then, of course, transitioning to the normal routine after all that safety was built can bring big feelings to our children, especially at the beginning when you start implementing this. And that's actually a great thing. So maybe more tantrums can come after this. It means they feel safe, really, really safe, to work on releasing the unpleasant feelings that they were carrying because they know you're there. You just show them that you're actually there for them. So just keep this in mind and plan an extra amount of time to allow the process to unfold and to be ready to still listen to another tantrum. So some of the tantrums actually happen when they don't feel connected as well, so you can fill their cup and diminish some of the possibility for a tantrum. And some of them actually happen after you give them special time because they feel so connected that they want to show you their yucky feelings. So, again, I would love to share one of my favorite anecdotes about special time, and it's the same kid I was just describing before, and it happened during a spring day after a very heavy rainfall. So she was 3 and a half at this time, and I picked her up from school on a Tuesday. It was at 1 p.m., and I said, sweetie, what do you want to do for special time? And she just immediately knew what she wanted to do. She wanted to put her boots on, rain boots, and go to explore and jump in a massive puddle that formed by her school in a field. It was, like, really massive. It was, like, knee-high for her height. So I set the timer, and I said, sure, sweetie, have 10 minutes. And showed all my delight as she slowly walked into the deep puddle. And the water was very, very clear and warm, so it was no big deal for me. And she wanted to meet, she said, Mommy, come with me. But I was actually wearing my regular shoes, so I said, no, I can't see the book, but I'm right here cheering for you. I'm going to be as close as I can. And then she was like, look at me, of course. Look at me, Mommy, she said, take a video of me jumping. So, okay, I grabbed my phone to start recording her, and because I was focusing on the smartphone, I didn't notice, and I took a step forward, and of course, I just got surprised by the feeling of wet socks and shoes. I was like, oops, and she started giggling. And I said, oh, well, I guess we can both jump now. My feet were wet. So we just were jumping, splashing, like, just delighted by each other's presence in that middle of the field. And it was really surprising and really fun. Like, I would have never done that before if it weren't for her. And some special times are very quiet and passive, and some are adventurous and funny. But this particular one was just awesome. So the timer went off, and she happily just held my hand to go back to the car, like no upset about that. And the rest of the day, when we would talk about our little adventure, and I was commenting on how great of an idea she had had, I just could see a spark in her eye as if she were saying, I can't believe you did that, Mommy. Was it that, Mommy? You were there for me. So in these two particular cases that I have been mentioning, stay listening and special time, the main idea is listening. We are listening to our children, and listening is crucial because you let our children know that we're really there for them, even in their hardest moments, or actually I would say especially in their hardest moments. And so we listen to their cries, and also we give them special time. And that provides, like, unparalleled closeness and acceptance. It's like, I'm really here for you, and just I'm delighted by you, and no matter what you do, I'm here. And they respond, of course. They respond beautifully to these tools, because these tools are responding to our children's core needs to be seen and to feel felt and to be heard. So they are tremendously effective. We can use special time when there's behavior that is really bugging us, what we can do to tackle really hard things is we can start giving them special time, regular special time, or regular listening to their cries. And I can guarantee you're going to see a beautiful transformation very, very quickly. So this all sounds simple, and they actually are very simple. But what we want to say now is they're not easy. They're not really easy to provide as parents, because most likely they were not modeled for us when we were little. So that's why we want to mention another one of the hand-in-hand tools, which is crucial, and it's all about support for adults, parent-to-parent adults, and it's called listening partnerships. So maybe Julie can tell us a little bit about what that's like and what that means.
Okay, yeah, thanks. I love those stories about your daughters. They're really, really powerful. You know, as Madalupe just said, that these tools, they're seemingly simple, but not that easy to use. And especially if we're not getting any support or special attention as parents. If we're not, it can be hard to offer warm attention to a crying child. And even if we are, sometimes it's hard to listen to a crying child. But because often when our children are upset, our buttons are getting pushed and we're getting triggered and our attention for our kids is just sort of flying out the window. So one thing that we recommend in the Parenting by Connection model is a way for parents to get support is through a listening partnership. And that's when two parents decide that they want to pair up, and often it's done on the phone, and you find someone to call, often a weekly basis is a good idea, and you exchange listening time, so meaning that if you have 30 minutes, one person talks for 15 minutes, and then while the other person listens, and then you switch, and the other person talks for 15 minutes. But the idea is that the listener is really mostly just listening and not offering advice or suggestions or critiques about what you're saying, but that, you know, parents really have the chance themselves to really just offload whatever is on their minds, whether it's within their families or work or whatever stresses are up for them currently, or it's also can be a really effective way to work on things that happened in our families when we were little that are getting in the way of us being close to our kids now, or making it hard for us to really listen to our children when they're upset. And so we found that parents who have been listened to in this way gain more confidence, actually, in their children's wisdom during these times of emotional release and feel less guilty when these outbursts happen because they're experiencing the relief themselves of a good cry or a good laugh even, or just, you know, getting the chance to just kind of talk, or cry about whatever it is that is going on in their family or in their life that's making it hard for them to feel close or just to be present. And there was a study done at UC Berkeley many years ago by a psychologist, actually, who she developed something, I think it was Mary Main, who developed something called the parent interview. And she interviewed lots of parents and asked them a variety of different questions. And she found that those parents that were more in touch with their past experiences and the difficulties that have happened in their lives, that and those parents that were getting a chance to talk about them or were aware of them or working through them were, even if, you know, they weren't really worked through, that those parents seemed to be closer and feel more connected to their children. So listening partnerships is one way that we can do that, and it can be a really powerful way to do that. So we've talked a bit tonight about the Parenting by Connection approach, and as we said, it's based on a number of different tools, and there are some that we didn't talk about tonight, including setting limits, although Marilupe kind of described that in her story about her daughter and the tantrum, there's also play listening, these tools really are meant to be used in conjunction with one another. And it's hard to keep using these tools if we're not, for one thing, like I said, if we're not getting the support that we need, or if we're not getting the emotional release that we need, or if we're just using one tool, then it's not really as effective as it could be if we're using them in concert with each other. Because of that, if you'd like to learn more about this approach, there are various ways that you can do that and get kind of a fuller picture of how to use the tools all together. For one thing, as a participant of this call, if you're listening to the replay, you get 50% off the Setting Limits and Building Cooperation course on the Hand in Hand website. So if you'd like to take advantage of that, the code for the discount is LIMITS2016. That's LIMITS 2016. And that will give you 50% off the Setting Limits and Building Cooperation class. It's like a self-study course. And the offer expires July 31st, and it's one per person for the discount. And the code, again, is LIMITS2016. Please do take advantage of that if you're interested. It's sort of a limited-time offer. As I said, it expires at the end of the month. So before we take questions and go over some of the questions that were sent to us, we wanted to just mention some other things that are coming up. If you'd like to do a class, an online class, I have a class coming up with Hand in Hand. It's starting the second week of August and in the morning, and that's you can find that on the Hand in Hand website at handinhandparenting.org. I also have a Sunday evening class coming up on August 14th. That's also over the phone. These are both over the phone. And you can find out more about that one on my website, which is parentchildconnection.com. And again, that's parentchildconnection.com. And Marilupe, do you want to say how you want to stay in touch with folks?
Sure. I have, for those of you who are on Facebook, I have a Facebook page called Parenting by Connection with Marilupe. And I think you can see the way my name is spelled in the call, but it's Marilupe. So again, it's Parenting by Connection by Marilupe. And that's the place where I cite all the upcoming classes. I'm going to do some classes on tantrums, understanding tears and tantrums, and then again the hand in hand starter class in the fall. So just go and like my page and visit, and then that's a great way to find what's going on with me.
Yeah, great. Okay. And then in terms of more upcoming teleseminars, we have Kathy Warden and Summer Sheldon who are doing What to Do When Your Child Lashes Out. That's coming up soon. That's a call like this one. Also, Michelle Carlson and Keiko Sato-Perry are doing Back to School, Ready to Learn. And Patty Whistler and Tasha Shore are doing a call coming up, which is called Five Simple Tools to Meet Your Parenting Challenges. So all of that information, again, you can find on the website. And I wanted to just get that information out there to those who might need to jump off. But we do want to move into the question, the Q&A portion. And what we're going to do first is start with some questions that were sent to us. And we found that there's some themes that are running through some of these questions. And so if you stay on the line, I think you'll find it useful. Some of these questions you might find useful for yourself and say, hey, that's my situation too. So so we'll start with Arupe. Do you want to start with one of the questions?
Sure. One of the moms has a 15-month-old, and he apparently is very, very strong. So she's asking, how can I manage all that twisting and turning and running away when he's having a tantrum? And she also mentioned that she has a health condition that's actually not very favorable to be able to contain all that movement. So one of the ideas that we'd like to propose, as I was mentioning before, is to have the mindset of being the safety manager. So that can include like setting an area with lots of cushions or pillows so that they can thrash and struggle happily without being hurt or without you having to contain all that. So one of the possibilities is to actually use lots of props and just anticipate that the challenge is probably coming and the tantrum is probably coming and just let it run its course and to try to keep everyone as safe as you can. I know of one of our beautiful instructors. She was very pregnant. She was pregnant in one of the latest stages of her pregnancy, and her older son was having a big meltdown. So she just protected her belly and just protected the whole area, and she anticipated a big tantrum, and he was able to offload lots of feelings, and everybody was safe. So just try to be creative and anticipate and protect everyone.
Okay. Okay. Great. So we got another question from someone who has a 9-month-old, and she says, this is a mom who says, I sometimes perceive that he's mad at me right after I've set a limit, usually something safety-related while he's wanting to crawl or explore. So it's often around something that he can't do or grabbing a personal item of someone's. And then she says that he screams, but then after that there's a cooling-off period where he won't look at me or connect. He's totally absorbed in his feelings, throwing things, etc. Is he really mad at me, and what can I say or do during this time to support him? One thing that I wanted to suggest here is that there's, in terms of what to say and do with stay listening and with setting limits, there's a really great article on the website called What to Do, or What to Say, actually, during stay listening. And I love that one because it goes through just a list of really useful things to say when our child is upset. And I think that, and it addresses different types of upset, so from fears to limits that are, you know, being imposed on children. And I think it's just useful because I know seems like a thing that many of us as parents are missing. It's like, what do I say at this moment when my child is upset? And I really like that article, What to Say During Stay Listening. So you can find that. You can find that on the website. And she says, you know, I feel like we're not in sync in these moments, or maybe we are. It depends on sort of, you know, if he's been able to have, you know, kind of a full tantrum about it. Often, you know, if a child does have a full tantrum about something, then often parents and the child feel in sync afterwards because the child's behavior is more on track. And often, but not always, if they're working on something kind of deeper, that child can be more cooperative, more flexible after those tantrums. And so that's something to look for. What is their behavior afterwards? And then if, like you're saying, if they feel like they're not connected or there's something still hanging on, then, you know, the next time he goes to, you know, tug at someone's personal item that he can't have, you know, just going in there again and gently setting a limit around, you know, what he's not allowed to do, a reasonable limit. And those limits, which we didn't talk a lot about tonight, but setting limits is really a vital thing for young people and really helpful, actually, for them to often a limit and Maria Lupe mentioned this in her story about her daughter, but often a limit will actually help to a child then kind of go into the tantrum because they're upset about the limit and then work through whatever they are upset about. Okay, so let's see. What is the next question? You want to take that one?
Yeah, this is a call from Romania, actually, and she's the mother of this is the mom of a six-year-old girl, and she's saying that her daughter is having a lot of tantrums, especially because she began using Hand in Hand. I think that that means that you're doing the right thing because your girl is feeling really, really safe, and she knows that you're here for her and you're listening. So she's bringing up all that backlog of stuff, feelings that she wasn't allowed to express before. So that's wonderful that she's having lots of tantrums, although it might not be easy to hear it, but it's actually a really great sign. And sometimes she says that it can be very intense, and she actually is asking if this is normal for a six-year-old. And I think absolutely, eight-year-old adults can have tantrums. So yes, absolutely. This is just a very healthy, emotionally really process. So six-year-olds have tantrums, of course, and older kids alike. So it looks, she says that it looks like the girl is expressing some of her feelings with her, some of her feelings with her father. I think she just knows that you're both there for her, and I feel like that's fantastic. So whatever she chooses, her brain knows what to do, and it all depends on how safe she feels and if she expresses some feelings with you and some feelings with your husband. I think that's wonderful. She's feeling safe with both. As long as she's expressing, and as Julie was saying, the key here to know if this is working or not is not necessarily during the tantrum, but afterwards. Like, what behavior do we see change, or what new thing is she capable of doing, or how relaxed is she about things? She was really, really rigid before. So, a good way to measure if things are working. But I think it's all in all, it's wonderful that she's feeling so safe.
Yeah, okay. All right, great. Someone else wrote in with a question saying that my 21-month-old has started to hit pinch and scratch. So she's dealing with aggression, and she says, what can I do to help stop the violence? And so again, you know, we've touched on this a bit in the call. Again, I think it's coming back to setting limits around that type of, around aggression. So you want to get in there early if you can and often, and to, you know, to get down with her on her level, to, if she's starting to pinch, to put your hand out there and gently on her hand and just say, no, I can't let you do that. And see what happens then. If a tears or a tantrum erupt, then you can move into stay listening. If a child is really aggressive, you can sort of start planning for the tantrums and start noticing, so both noticing and planning. So when do they happen? Is there a particular time of day? Is it after they've come home from daycare, or, you know, is it before bed, or when are they showing some of these behaviors? It's a good thing to just start observing your child and kind of noticing, like, when do they feel connected and when do they feel disconnected? And then you want to just plan for the aggression to happen. So if you start noticing when it's cropping up the most, you want to try to get in there kind of early and prevent her from being aggressive. Because again, as we've been saying, you don't want her to hurt you or to hurt anybody else. And when a child is aggressive or out of control, it's often, if they're in the middle of that kind of upset or tantrum, it's very hard for them to stop themselves. It's hard to figure out how to get out of it, and they need a hand to be able to kind of get, you know, gently pulled out through a limit, and then often through stay listening, which can happen if a child is very upset after a limit is set. I have a friend who is grown now, and I grew up with her, and she remembers having a lot of tantrums when she was little, and she remembers being on, you know, sometimes she was aggressive, sometimes she just remembers feeling really out of control. And she said, I remember this feeling of looking around and seeing everyone around me, the adults that were around me, and they just looked like they had no idea what to do. And I was thinking, listen, guys, like, I don't know how to get out of this, and it looks like you don't either. And I just thought that was a really powerful kind of memory. And, you know, she was really asking for help. It's like we have to, you know, get in there in those moments as gently, but you know, as much as we can to prevent aggression and to listen to a child. And with aggression, it's sort of like this dance. You know, you want to, again, you want to not get hurt by your child, but you also want to let them have that kind of, you know, wild episode if they are. And so as Marilupe said, I think it's really it can be helpful to use pillows or to use something to, you know, help a child, like, have that upset but not hurt other people. And I know an instructor who likes, you know, she can, you know, sometimes she wraps blankets around her. She has an older son who can, you know, he's had aggressive episodes. And so, you know, she'll run and grab a blanket and just wrap it around her or a big foam thing. And that can be helpful in letting them kind of work through it while at the same time keeping everyone safe. Okay, so let's see. We have one more question that came in through email, which is from a grandmother of a 3.5-year-old boy who she said is tall for his age. And she's wondering, she said, how do I help my son respond to his emotional tantrums when expectations are too high? So because I guess the gist of it was she was saying that he's 3, but he's very, you know, he's tall and he looks a lot older. He looks like he's 6 years old. And so I think one of the first things that we can do is support someone. You know, one of the best things we can do is support a parent by being there and, you know, I think first and foremost to, you know, not be judgmental or necessarily suggestive at that moment when a child is upset, but to be really warm and gentle with a parent because it's, as we know, it's hard. These tantrums can be hard for us to listen to, and if we feel, you know, judged by a grandparent or, you know, it's like being out in public with a tantrum. It can be really hard. And so I think, you know, holding out the expectation that this dad is doing the best they can is one place to start, which is really helpful. But also another thing to do is to offer your son any articles that come up that you find on the website, which address some of these issues. So like I said, What to Say During Stay Listening is one that I particularly like. Patty Whistler wrote some articles about tantrums, which is kind of outlines a lot of what we talked about here. And there's a part one and a part two, and I just love those articles that she wrote. So, you know, if you want to come back to some of these ideas, this is for everyone. If you want to come back to these ideas, that's one place. If you don't have the time to listen to the replay, you can really just go into those articles and dig into them. And those are, I found, really helpful, and a lot of our ideas came from there. So that's one suggestion, is to offer your son some information and some material. Okay, so let's see. Anything else? Those are our email questions. Manalupe, did you want to add anything there?
Yeah, or this grandmother can then send her son the replay to this call. So maybe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, everyone, feel free to pass the replay along to whoever you think might benefit from hearing it or would like to hear this.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, so we have a few minutes. We have about 10 minutes until we close. Let's see. So I think we'll go ahead and take a question or two from the audience that is here tonight. Let me get back to my screen. We still have a bunch of people on the call, so it's great. So what we're going to do is if you do have a question about crying or tantrums, you can raise your hand. And to raise your hand is *2. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yep.
Star 2. Okay. And And we'll take them in order. I don't know that we'll have time for everyone's question tonight, but we'd love to hear from some of you, and we're starting to get some questions now. So I'm going
to if we don't have time to answer all of those, like, please feel free to contact us via email.
Yeah.
And then we'll definitely make time to answer all the questions. You can find my email is marilupe@handinhandparenting.org.
Yeah, okay, great. And I'm at parentchildconnection@gmail.com, or you can, as I said, you can reach me on my website, which is also parentchildconnection.com.
Yep.
You can reach me that way. So, yeah, we'd love to hear from you either way, and if you don't get your question answered tonight. That's a good way to reach us. Okay, so let's take a call here from San Diego. So I'm going to unmute you. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. So about the tantruming, I mean, I've heard of children tantrum, and I've looked at my own son who's now 4, and I wish that he was tantrumed like the way you typically hear that they throw themselves on the ground. But when my son tantrums, he gets really mad, screams like in a high-pitched noise, and just tries to hit you back or just go for whatever he's trying to do. I rarely get him to a point where he's really crying and releasing, you know, that tension that I'm looking for. The only time this happened is the right way was after we had that pillow fight party at Hand in Hand. And it was a fantastic moment, actually.
Yeah.
We had a tantrum shortly after the event, and I stayed with him, and he emerged from it, like, after a half an hour, totally happy.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when, you know, he does something, I have to physically stop him. And he's 4 years old. He's very strong. Most of the time he gets very aggressive and I get triggered or he gets aggressive towards my kid. It's hard for me to get him to cry it out. But the only time he wants to cry is if, you know, I would be harsh with him, like put him in a timeout or, yeah, which obviously I'm not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what should I do to get him to release those emotions so we can move on?
So you're saying that he's aggressive, but he's not really crying through the
He cries if I were harsh with him, but he like will be aggressive if I stop him from doing something he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, this is about every time, but sometimes, especially recently, when he hasn't had his way and I've gone down to his level and tried to talk to him about it, he's complained, not cried, but complained, but then moved on.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when he gets, when he really wants to do something and I don't let him do it, then he will immediately put his nails in my throat and pull my skin.
I mean, a couple of thoughts, a couple of different thoughts. But, you know, again, like we were talking about aggression a little bit, you do want to stop that, you know, if you can get in there before, you know, sometimes it's hard to get him, you know, to sort of to get your hands gently on his hands before he digs them into your neck or, you know, or scratches you or what he's going to do. But you want to try to prevent that. So,
okay.
And, you know, just really, you know, if he's really having reactions to limits that come up, you know, you just, I think, as I was saying, I think you have to really prepare yourself for those moments and know that, like, okay, I'm going to set this limit or I'm going to say something and I don't think he's going to like it. And then, you know, he's 4, right? So you can get down there with him on his level, but just right away kind of, you know, get down there with him, give him eye contact, and even though probably he's getting strong, but prevent him from being aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you had said that, you know, after there was a pillow fight with a hand-in-hand workshop or
dance?
This is
the last pillow fight. We were there with my infant daughter. Julie was holding her, actually.
Oh, okay. And then he had a tantrum after that?
Yes, we went to Whole Foods and he wanted to run around, so I picked him up and we walked out, and we had walked from the place to Whole Foods. It was quite a walk, and he cried the entire time. Mm-hmm. And then when we got in the car, he cried a little bit more, and it had started just drizzling, just getting a little bit rainy. And then he looked at the water drops and looked at me, and then he was totally happy. He was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my son has some developmental delays. You know, his language mm-hmm. is really delayed. It's getting better, but his aggression towards me, towards his sister, is
yeah.
awful.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would, you know, that often happens after we've had a nice, close, connected time with a child, is that mm-hmm. they then, you know, like you had the pillow fight, it could be after special time, it could be after some kind of, what we haven't talked about play listening tonight, but some, you know, when laughter and closeness or play, you know, laughter is generated, kids often feel that safety and that connection with you than to have a big tantrum, and it's like, what? Like, we just had this really nice time together, what's going on here? But, you know, I would suggest that you actually do more of that. I don't know how much you, you know, are sort of using the play listening and, you know, those tools.
We do play listen, but also sometimes during play listening, it's been a while that he would in the beginning hit me or sneak mm-hmm. off, like mm-hmm. a punch or a scratch or a bite.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would like discourage me from continuing play listening. You know, I also have a 9-month or a 10-month-old daughter, so things get a little bit more complicated. But you think that if I do more play listening, more true feelings or tears will come out rather than just anger?
Yeah, I think so. And I think just, you know, sort of based on what you were saying from after the pillow fight I think that play listening is actually a really helpful way to get at fears. And fears can lead to aggression. And mm-hmm. so, you know, and I think, you know, as Marilupe explained earlier, you know, you might, if you do start doing more play listening, you might see more of a spike in that kind of behavior at first. And you want to be prepared for that. And, you know, I think, and, you know, the other thing is, so, you know, I would say add in more special time there, or sorry, play listening and special time. And do you have a listening partner? Because I know how hard aggression
is. I don't. I've tried to go on the Yahoo, but every time I post, I either don't get a response back, or if I get it back, a few days later, and I can't find it. But that's just me. I haven't been very serious about it.
Uh-huh.
So I posted it 2 times. I need to post again and follow up within a day or two to see if anybody responded. Yeah, I think a listening partnership would be very helpful.
Yeah, I would definitely, it's a great way to, you know, find someone through the Yahoo list. A lot of people are looking through there, and also, I believe through Hand in Hand Parenting's Facebook page, you can put a post about that as well. Yeah, and actually, I think there is, Madalupe, maybe you know better than I do, but I think there actually is a Facebook page for listening partners, is that correct?
Yeah, there's one specific, you can email us, and you need to be added, is a closed group. To protect the confidentiality, but there is an actual Facebook page just for to find listening partnerships or to find listening time, emergency listening time. Yep.
Yeah.
Can you give me your email again?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's Marie.
Yeah.
Marilupe. M A R I L U P E at handinhandparenting.org.
Okay.
So if you email me, I'll make sure to send you to the correct person so that you can be added into that, you know, that Facebook page. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Hang in there.
Thank you.
It's hard, I would definitely suggest more play listening, special time, getting special time in there on a weekly basis, and then also, you know, a listening partner would be really, really helpful right now, I think. So. Yeah, and it can be a little tricky finding one at first. You want to just, I know it's hard, but you want to be persistent finding one. You know, it's not always easy to kind of spark that relationship up at first, but something will happen if you keep, you know, if you keep asking. I think it's something will come up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
thank you.
Sure. Marilupe, did you want to add anything else to that question? Or?
No, I was just going to suggest the same thing, trying to get more connection through play, via play listening and special time. So that if you bring up the connection, then the emotions are going to rise.
Yeah,
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, great. Well, it is, I know we have a couple other people that had a question for us, but it is, we're at the end of our hour. It's 7:30 Pacific and 10:30 Eastern. So I think we are going to close, but again, you have our emails, our contact information. If you forget all that, you can always find us on the Hand in Hand Parenting website. We're both on there, our bios and our contact information. So, and again, let's see, I just want to reiterate that code for that class. If you're interested in the Setting Limits class, it's the one on the website. It's Limits 2016, and that's good until July 31st. So, okay, with that, we are going to close. We so appreciate you being on this call tonight and all the hard work that you're doing as parents. I don't think we get nearly enough props or support. Appreciation that we need as parents. And so thank you all for doing the work you're doing and being the good parents that you are. So stay in touch with us and stay in touch with Hand in Hand. Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.